This is Rachel Swanson, and you are listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. Welcome to the podcast where I help refine away the areas in your life that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. Hey guys, I need to share with you something very important and very sudden that I didn't have planned before we get into today's episode. You will understand this more as you listen to this episode with Jordan Rayner, my guest, but I've decided to make this podcast episode the last running episode for the Refine and Restore podcast. It's definitely bittersweet. I've so enjoyed the process of sharing podcast episodes with you guys, with guests and content, and it's definitely been really good for a season. But recently, I had been feeling the pull to complete this podcast earlier than I had planned, and it's all because of the recent early copy of a book I read by Jordan Rayner, who is my guest on today's episode, and it's called The Master of One. It's also been confirmed through prayer with God. And you know, when you have a good thing you can do, but it doesn't give room to the one thing that God is asking you to do that is going to be that much better, yeah, then you have to let that go, right? And that's me in the season right now. So keep listening to this episode with Jordan because maybe it'll make you think hard about where you're at in life and whether or not you are where God wants you in the season of life as well. Because maybe you need to pull back. Maybe there's something else God is calling you to. Maybe you're feeling burnt out and you need to let go of some things that feel life-sucking. Maybe you need to hone in on that one thing that is ultimately the thing that God is calling you to. But let me tell you a little bit about Jordan Rayner before we get into today's podcast episode. Jordan Rayner is a serial entrepreneur and national best-selling author who helps Christians do their most exceptional work for the glory of God and the good of others. His book, Called to Create, became an instant bestseller when it released in November 2017. His next book, Master of One, will be released in January 2020. In addition to his writing, Jordan serves as the executive chairman of Threshold 360, a venture-backed tech startup that has built the world's largest library of 360-degree experiences of hotels, restaurants, and attractions. Basically, it's super cool because you get to see what these places look like in a 360-degree view. So they go in and they take these 360-degree angles of all these cool places, and you get to experience it for yourself. It's pretty awesome. Jordan previously served as the CEO of the company, Threshold 360, following a string of successful ventures of his own. But I'm just going to say this. This isn't part of his bio, but the reason he pulled back and he talks about it more in this episode is because of his recent book, The Master of One, and how he's honing in more on this next book. Jordan has twice been selected as a Google follower and served in the White House under President George Bush, which is amazing. Hello. A highly sought after public speaker on the topic of faith and work, Jordan has spoke at Harvard University, TEDx, and many other high profile events all around the world. A sixth generation Floridian, I don't even know how to say that, Jordan lives in Tampa with his wife and their two young daughters. Okay, so this really is one of my favorite episodes. And I know I say that all the time, there's so many good ones, but we dig into the topic again of calling and purpose in a different kind of way and how your ministry can be at home with the kids, at church, or creating products as a serial entrepreneur. And he discusses all those different aspects of it. And as long as you are doing it for the glory of God and loving others in the process, that's all that really matters. Let's tune in. All right, Jordan, I'm excited to have you here. So tell me a little bit more about this concept you talked about in your book, Called to Create. You mentioned this kind of tension or the misconceptions that come with being a Christian and being an entrepreneur and how this can actually be part of the ministry as well. So maybe could you unpack that a little bit more for me?
I think these ideas are really rooted in my own experience, right? So back in 2014, I was exiting a venture that I had started, a tech start that I had started, and I was trying to figure out what to do next. I was pretty sure I was going to start another business, but I went to a church planting conference at my church here in Tampa, where I'm from, and this guy's on stage and he's describing like the ideal profile of a church planter. And I'm like, He's describing an entrepreneur like this is it's the exact same profile. And I was like, well, maybe this is a more God honoring use of my time and my talents. So I started praying about it. My wife and I started praying about it. And thankfully I had some godly mentors in my life that pulled me aside and were like, what are you thinking? Like you are obviously passionate about business and starting businesses. You're obviously gifted at this. You've created tons of jobs and wealth. Why do you think you should go apply those things somewhere else? Don't you understand that your work as an entrepreneur can be the primary means by which you reveal the character of God and love your neighbor as yourself? And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so so at the time I read Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller, probably my all-time favorite book, totally changed my life, gave me a really good foundational concept of the doctrine of work and seeing work as inherently good and inherently meaningful, especially for the Christian. And so, yeah, so, but I had some deeper questions, right? So I had questions, real specific questions about how does the work of an entrepreneur change? How does the gospel impact the work of the entrepreneur? What are the unique challenges that the Christian entrepreneur has to face that the non-Christian entrepreneur might not recognize, right? And so those thoughts kind of manifested themselves in the book called The Create. And I think you hit on, I think you were starting to allude to one, which just keeps coming up in conversation after conversation. I think this is one that really resonated with people the most. This concept of, startup culture is, tells us that we just, it's all about hustle. It's all about grind. It is just work as hard as you can to make your venture a success. And I think there's a lot of good in that messaging, right? I think scripture clearly commands us to work heartily, as Colossians 3:23 says, as working unto the Lord.
Yeah.
But the Christian has to wrestle with, this seemingly paradoxical truth that yes, we are called to hustle, but we're also called to trust in the Lord who provides wealth. Mm-hmm. We do not create wealth. The Lord creates wealth, and he uses us as entrepreneurs to create it. But at the end of the day, we are not responsible for the relative success or failure of our ventures. And so those seem like competing ideas, but I don't think they are. I think they're both biblical truths. Yes, we are called to trust. Yes, we are called to hustle. And it's only when we really embrace both of them and kind of embrace, frankly, the tension between those two ideas that we find the rest that we're all really craving.
Gosh, yeah. And I'm so glad you mentioned that and share that, because yeah, I feel like I've also mentioned that in some circles of like, we aren't the ones who create wealth. God is really the one that is in charge of that. And our job is really just to be good stewards of the gifts and talents and things that he's given us to do that. And so maybe you can even share, what capacity have you then been able to share your creative gifts to the world, and how has God been using you in this way?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I've spent, how I specifically live out my work and where I create. So I spent basically the first 10 years of my life, starting a number. Yeah, that'd be incredible. starting and selling a number of different tech startups. So I love technology. I've now started and sold a couple of them. For the last 2.5 years, I've been running a very well-funded tech startup down here in Tampa called Threshold 360. It's on a mission to map the inside of the world of every public location on Earth. And thus far, we have a bigger library of this content than anyone else on Earth. But actually 6 weeks ago, I stepped down as CEO of that company. I'm taking on a new role as executive chairman of the board so that, one, I could pave the way for a CEO with much more experience than me to take the venture to another level, but also because after the success of Called to Create and seeing how well that book did, I just recognized that we need more voices helping Christians connect the gospel to their work on a regular basis. And I think work produces so much pain and so many, quote unquote, felt needs in the world that to which the gospel is the only answer. And so I'm still unpacking this as I do my work and trying to help others do the same thing as I do it. So yeah, so now I'm spending almost 100% of my time. I still have a decent amount of responsibility at Threshold 360, but most of my time writing on these topics.
Yeah, and like work is really, I think it's kind of, subjective, don't you think? I mean, really, work is anything you put your hands to or anything that you steward. And so even the stay-at-home mom, you know, like the work at
that's
home,
work.
And that's important. And how is she bringing the gospel there to the woman that does work or to the man that does work outside the home or to, you know, the neighbor down the street? I mean, that's something that even my husband and I recently were just talking about. We want to kind of start cultivating more of the gospel living even in our own neighborhood. And so talking about, hey, maybe we should do like a summer block party or whatever, you know, like something to bring people together and influence them through just working together to make a little event happen so that we can all connect. And so I think we sometimes try to any of the work we do, we feel like it has to be separated from gospel living or from this ministry or mission to live for God. And really what we are called to do, I think, as Christians is really to live that out in everything we do. It should just kind of exude out of us. And that's what being on mission is all about, is being where you are, wherever God has you right now.
Yeah, I think we forget that work was a part of perfect Eden.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, work is hard and work is painful and sin has caused that. But we forget that work was a part of God's perfect design for the world. Right.
Exactly.
And, the whole narrative of Scripture is not just about Jesus redeeming lives. It's about Jesus redeeming everything. Right. Exactly. Redeeming culture, redeeming the earth itself. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I think viewed through that lens, we spend more than 50% of our waking hours working. Like, I don't understand how we can't view work as not just a means of ministry, but our primary means of loving our neighbor as ourselves and making disciples, right? I mean, this is where we're expending the most energy, whether it's, you know, my wife staying home with our kids and raising them, or me writing my next book. This is what I'm spending the majority of my waking hours doing, right? Yeah. So I think it's important for Christians to take a regular step back to really unpack how the story of redemption, how the gospel impacts how they create, why they create, what in the world they're creating in the world. And more often than not, that's going to be something that's not overtly evangelical. And I'm the biggest proponent of that. My least favorite coffee shop is the one right across the street from my house that's overtly evangelical. I loathe it. But we need, you know, C.S. Lewis used to say, I didn't know about this quote until I was having dinner. We gave away a trip to Europe for Called the Great for the pre-order sweepstakes, and we had dinner with C.S. Lewis's stepson.
So cool.
And he said that that Jack had this quote that I never heard before that said, "We do not need more Christians writing Christian books. We need more Christians writing great books, or we don't need more Christian books. We need more Christians writing great books." And I think the same could be said for businesses, right? I think, you know, first and foremost, before we proclaim the gospel, we need to be thinking about, you know, the ministry of excellence, right? Like, and understanding like excellent work is really our most fundamental form of ministry. I have a friend who's a nurse practitioner in the NICU at the hospital down the street from us. It's like, you know, her patients don't care if she wears a cross around her neck or if she goes to church every Sunday. Like, the most fundamental way that she loves her neighbor as herself is by bringing sick babies back to full health. The ministry of, I think Keller calls it the ministry of competence, you know, just being great, like really exceptional at whatever God's called you to do.
And I love that. Yeah. And you know, do you feel like then that culture is taking a shift when it comes to looking at work in a different way, especially as a Christian, you know, not just necessarily being an entrepreneur, but just in all the creative ways that God's given us to be used by him? Do you think there is this shift of, I think we can implement whatever we're doing, especially in our work, with just this gospel living?
Yeah, I do. I think this is largely being driven by my generation of millennials. I think we really, and I've got no data to support this, so take it with a huge grain of salt, but you know, just in conversation, just anecdotally, in conversations with my friends, with my community that we're building, I think we long for a gospel that is true, not just on Sunday, but that is relevant and deeply connected to every single part of our lives, right? And of course, as Christians, we know intellectually that that is the case, right? The gospel is not just to keep me out of hell. It's meant to be my functional salvation every day waking up. I'm rereading Parenting by Paul David Tripp, which is like top 10 books of all time for me.
Yeah.
And just like reminding myself that it's the least practical book on parenting in the world, which is why I love it, because the problems with parenting aren't practical. My problems with parenting are forgetting that I am lost and my kids, the greatest danger to my kids does not come from outside of them. It's inside of them. They are sinners. They're in need of a savior. Right. And so just, I don't know, like, I love how Paul David Tripp helps us unpack the gospel and parenting. And I just see a need in the market, frankly, in the church, and which is why I'm so glad to be doing this work full time. And so glad other people are doing this work full time to help us unpack that at work. Why did I lie in that sales presentation? I lied in that sales presentation because I can't handle the agony of defeat, because my identity is rooted in my success at work rather than in Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Why in the world, am I depressed after the failure of my venture? It's the same thing over and over again, right? It's forgetting who we are and forgetting what the gospel means for who we are and who Christ says we are through him.
Yeah. And so what kind of things then, other things have you been thinking about that you're starting to challenge others with today?
Yeah,
different from
that's a good question. So, you know, call to create the book, you know, really is it's a baseline doctrine of vocation, especially for the Christian entrepreneur and culture creator. And I define that very, very broadly. I think artists, I think authors, I think stay-at-home moms a lot are entrepreneurs in a differently defined way. So, you know, call to create basically set out that, you know, work is our primary form of ministry. Work is how we reveal the character of God, who I would argue is the first entrepreneur, the creator God. It's how we love our neighbors as ourselves. And it's the primary means by which we will make disciples of Jesus Christ, right? And so I'm working on a new project. I guess I'll announce it here. It's not even live on Amazon yet, but I signed a deal with Random House for a book that's coming out in January. Yeah, we're really excited about it. It's called Master of One. It really builds on Call to Create. It says, okay, if we believe that work is our primary form of ministry, then Christians ought to have the absolute highest standards for our work, right? We should never be content with mediocrity or being labeled a master of none, right?
Yeah.
And listen, I'm a jack of all trades, right? I think there's a place for being good at a lot of different things, but I think at some point, if we're going to make our greatest contribution to the world, if we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves the best way that we can, if we're going to reveal the character of our exceptional God the best way that we can, at some point in our careers, there's got to be one thing that we really sink our teeth into and get world class at. Right.
Yeah.
And so this book is a call for the church to embrace that, to stop being content with being a master of none and find and focus on the work that you can do most exceptionally well. And the book is Master of One is going to be much more practical than Called to Create. Right. So I studied loads of scientific research, really good business literature, and lots of interviews with people to understand like what separates exceptional people from good people. What separates the good entrepreneur and the good author from the exceptional one? And not surprisingly, you know, there's lots of good literature here, lots of good business research and scientific research that shows that there are predictable patterns to mastery, right? So so that's what I'm working on next.
And that can that apply to anybody? Or I mean, I know probably more specifically you're talking about people that are more entrepreneurial or have businesses, but what about, do you feel like it could apply to the stay-at-home mom?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So Call to Create was written for a very specific niche of Christian entrepreneurs and creatives. This next book is really for all Christians who work, period. Right.
So,
there are some stories of entrepreneurs in the book, but there's many more stories that aren't entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
So, we've got stories from my nurse practitioner friend that I just mentioned, got stories from one of my friends who's a pilot, right? We have stories of Fred Rogers, right? We got stories of, and some entrepreneurs and culture creators, right? So Lecrae's story is in the book. Andrew Stanton, who's the producer of Stranger Things and Finding Nemo, is in the book. Yeah, so it's going to be a much more diverse book. Cynthia Marshall, the CEO of the Dallas Mavericks, unbelievable leader, like a phenomenal leader. She's a part of the book. Yeah, so it's going to be a much more diverse set of stories than in Call to Great.
Yeah. And I think the reason I was even drawn to you and your message in the first place is because I'm in that awkward, sometimes I feel like I'm in this awkward place of, I'm a woman, I have this entrepreneurial spirit. I have this, what I call it, I kind of call it a business ministry because it's both my ministry and it's a business. It provides for our family. It's something that I'm passionate about. I'm also just as passionate about being a mom and being a wife and being a friend and stewarding the community around me. And so I think sometimes people look at this and say, oh, I can't do that because either I'm a woman or, you know, maybe this isn't biblical. And so maybe could you tell me, what have you seen even biblically in the context of scripture? Do you feel like women have the same abilities to be able to be entrepreneurs and still be moms and create businesses and serve in these ways? I feel like there's so many women that are holding themselves back because they are thinking of the lies of like the enemy has snuck into their hot minds, right? Because this was me just 5 years ago, you know, trying to get over these lies of like, can I do this? Is this what I've been called to do? And, you know, for some, like God has called you to be a stay-at-home mom, you know, and that's your role for the rest of, you know, the season, whatever. But sometimes there's seasons for that and there's seasons for God's going to call you to do something else. And so I feel like I've been in that place where I'm like, look, I'm not only called to be a mom, but I am called to be, you know, a steward of the gifts of being an author and being a writer and being an advocate for some things that otherwise, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do if it wasn't for God putting those things in me. And so maybe, what do you think? Like, can you?
Yeah. So you're hitting on one of my favorite topics.
Yeah.
if I was a woman, I would probably write a book on this. I don't really feel like
I'll write the book since I am a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
I know you're a man, so it's talking about like from a male perspective, but I'd love to hear that.
Oh, no. So I mean, I don't think this is going to be a surprise to anybody. I mean, you know, some of the most effective executives and I've ever hired have been women. Probably the most effective executives I've ever met. Some of the most effective entrepreneurs, right, as well. You know, I think I'll say this. I think we have really mystified this idea of calling. And I would argue we've actually like elevated it to like idol status. Mm-hmm. Like I think we have really, I think even within the church, even with Christian authors, and I've been guilty of this. I think we've elevated calling and work to this status of like this ultimate thing, right? When it's not, the ultimate thing is Christ. The ultimate thing is God's glory, right? Yeah. And I think, at the end of the day, for the Christian, our calling's pretty straightforward. We're to glorify God and love others.
Amen.
Period. Like, I don't know. It's like pretty simple. And I think we live that out in a variety of ways. But because we are called to, in whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, to do it all for the glory of God, I think we ask, what is the glory of God? What does it mean to glorify God? Because I think that's something else that we have kind of mystified in the church. The glory of God, revealing the character of God, is simply revealing who he is and revealing his goodness and his excellence and his character. And so when you unpack that into every other area of life, I don't see how we can get around this biblical mandate for excellence, right? And this is why I'm like so excited about this next book and why I think it's so important, is because I think we really need to understand that excellence really is our most fundamental form of ministry. Now, I also think that means that we're called to be excellent in all things, which necessarily means that we can't do many things, because you can't do many things with excellence, right? And so one of the points I'm making in the book, I make it in the first chapter that's called Excellence in All Things, is, you know, listen, we are called to be excellent fathers. We are called to be excellent mothers. I am called to be an exceptional husband. Because of that, there's no way I'm going to be exceptional at more than one, maybe two things vocationally at the same season of my life. It's just not going to happen. And frankly, it's part of the reason why I left Threshold. There was no way I was going to continue to be the absolute most exceptional CEO of that venture that I could be and be an exceptional author. I had to choose. And listen, I made a very expensive choice. I left a lot of money on the table, right? Any author will tell you there's not a lot of money in books, but I had to make a decision. And I think, you know, we've just bought into so many lies that keep us from believing that. You know, I think we really peddle this lie that you can be anything you want to be, that you can do everything you want to do. And that's not true. And I also think we've just bought into this lie that like the primary purpose of work is our happiness. Like the overarching advice, like the most common advice, especially young people get when it comes to their work, is do what you love, follow your passions. One, that's like really bad advice. And there's plenty of scientific literature that like supports that. But I also would argue it's somewhat, not totally, but it's somewhat unbiblical. Yes, scripture makes clear that, you know, we are to have joy. I believe that the Lord wants us to be joyful and to be happy and to be satisfied in this life. But the way to happiness, the path to happiness, as outlined by Jesus' life, as outlined by scripture, as outlined by plenty of scientific research that I'm going to address in my book, is serving others first. Mm-hmm. And how do we serve others first? We do really, really good work, right? So the advice I give to young people, really anyone, is if you really want work that you love, find work that you're exceptionally good at, right? Because passion follows mastery, not the other way around. I think we all think that we're going to get into a job and immediately love it. And when that doesn't happen, we quit and we move on to the next thing. And that's how we become a jack of all trades and a master of none. When true satisfaction, and this is really outlined really well in Grit by Angela Duckworth, true passion, sustainable, deep satisfaction of vocation comes when we get really, really, really good at something.
I want to add one more thing to that of just what came to my mind when you started talking about that and like what's the most just with desires and that sort of thing. It's Psalm 37:4, which says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that has been taken out of context where they think anything that they have this passion for, they should run after. But guess what? It's the first part. Take delight in the Lord. Right. This is like this deep, like focus everything on him.
Right.
Focus your love, your passion, like almost give everything to him. Give all your passions, everything you put it down at his feet. And then guess what? He will penetrate you with those desires, those God-given, God-birthed dreams and desires that has been on your heart. Because that's what happened to me when I started pursuing this as a mom of three kids under 2 years old, which was crazy. And I thought, God, you called the wrong girl. Like, I can't do this. I've got so much on my plate. And I was still working part-time in my other career. And it was just crazy. And I thought, but then there was just this, like, there was this moment I remember when I was driving and I just literally was crying because I was like, I just felt like I couldn't do this. And I just put it all down. I was like, God, if you don't want me to be pursuing this call to write, to steward, to really just, pursue this calling to write and be an author, like, I don't want to be doing this for myself. I don't want to be doing this for my own selfish desires. And God just really put on my heart after that, like just this piece of, I see you, pick yourself up and just trust me, knowing that I have your focus, and just stay focused on me and you will be successful, not because of what you're doing, but because I'm the one that's going to help you walk this out.
I love it.
And so, I don't know if you had any thoughts.
Well said. No. Well said. It's well said.
Yeah. But so same thing, like you think that the desires, again, they just have to be focused on God, right?
Yeah. I think, kind of giving away the whole book, but
I'm sorry.
The end of Master of One, I talk about what is the promise of mastery, right? Like what for the Christian, what does mastery produce? And I put happiness at the very end, right? Because I do think it is the our happiness is the last priority. And I really studied the parable of the talents, right? Where the master gives the three servants this capital to invest on his behalf. We don't know. We're not told if the servants, if that was their passion to go invest the master's money, that's irrelevant, right? He gave them this job to do, and they focused on serving the master well. They did their jobs well. And when they did, when they produced a return on that capital, then the master said, come and share the master's happiness, right? And so I think there's like a really deep lesson in there for us when we focus on just doing our most exceptional work. I think we serve others really well. We serve our employers really well. We serve our customers really well. We serve our master really well. And it's then that we are brought into the master's habit. It's the master's happiness that is the point, right? And he's invited us to share in that, to graciously, he's invited us to share in that happiness with him.
Focus on doing your most exceptional work, not for your glory, but for God's glory. Guys, I read an early copy of Master of One by Jordan Rayner, and it completely rocked my world. So much so that it's the reason I pulled back from continuing this podcast right now. Through prayer, God has made it clear for me to pull back and hone in even more on the one thing he wants me to dig into for the next couple months. writing my next book, even though my recent one just released. But this next topic has been burning in my chest over the last several weeks and actually month now, but there has been no space in my life to complete this task. So unfortunately, I have to let go of a few good things in order to do the most important and best thing for me right now. It doesn't mean I'm gone forever though. No way. I will be back. Promise. Stay connected to me through my Truthful Tuesday emails by subscribing at rachelcswanson.com/subscribe, and you will be the first to hear about when I will be back in the podcasting world. I love you guys all so much. Thanks for continuing to tune in, and I hope to see you soon.